This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Choose if you try.
Of stockings looked on to something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. Good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four letter words, writing prose. Anything goes.
Greetings to you who don't think atheism and agnosticism is something shocking. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio, where almost anything goes. On this show, we talk freely about religion and especially the lack thereof.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the June 7th, 2014 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We also podcast and we broadcast in other states around the country, including California, New York, Michigan, Missouri, and Texas.
Free Thought Radio, as regular listeners know, is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm an original co-founder. The group started nationally in 1978 and has grown from the original two of us who founded it.
When you were 7 years old?
My mother and I. Thank you. I was a college student. To over 20,000 in North America. And we have two purposes: to educate the public about non-theism, to promote free thought, the use of reason, forming your opinion about religion, and to get religion and keep religion out of government.
Today, we're going to talk about the exciting new film, The Unbelievers, which was just released this week. It's a documentary that follows Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss on their worldwide science tour.
We'll be speaking on the second half of the show with the filmmakers themselves, the Hallwerda brothers, Luke and Gus Hallwerda, whom we were very pleased to meet last month at the Imagine No Religion 4 conference in Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada, where we were lucky enough to see a screening of that film.
And this unbelievable movie, The Unbelievers, focuses on the biologist Richard Dawkins and the physicist Lawrence Krauss as they travel around the world promoting science over superstition. And the movie includes cameos and brief interviews of celebrities like Cameron Diaz, Woody Allen, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Hawking, Sarah Silverman,
and Bill Maher, Tim Minchin, Eddie Izzard, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, James Randi, and many others, all in this film. And it's a beautifully filmed production, and they're very talented brothers, and it's exciting to watch.
So that'll be a fun interview on the second half of the show. We started today's show with the Cole Porter song, Anything Goes, sung by Tony Bennett, who, by the way, is also a freethinker. This week happens to be the birthday of four famous non-believing composers and songwriters. June the 7th, 1928, is the birthday of Charles Strauss, the Broadway composer who wrote Annie and Bye Bye Birdie.
And hey, and don't forget that song, Poor Little Me, which Charles Strauss wrote with you, Dan, and that's the first openly free thought song he wrote the music for,
which we played on the show before.
And it's also available on the CD Adrift on a Star and on iTunes.
And on iTunes, that's right. And we've played the song, and we've also interviewed Charles Strauss on this show. We gave him an Emperor Has No Clothes Award. Also this week, June the 8th, 1810, was the birthday of the German composer Robert Schumann. June the 9th, 1891, was the birthday of the Broadway composer Cole Porter. And June the 11th this week, 1864, was the birthday of the German composer Richard Strauss.
So listen to the outro music, during today's show to see if you can identify music from each of these four non-believing composers.
So, Annie Laurie, we talked about our Ron Reagan ad in a previous show, and what's happening? It played on the Comedy Central.
Yeah, on May 22nd, we hope some of you saw the debut of this 30-second TV spot. It's a celebrity endorsement. Hey, can we play that again?
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
So that was the first atheist commercial that ever ran on Comedy Central's Daily Show with Jon Stewart and the Colbert Report. And that ran once on live, and then they always repeat 2 hours later. So it ran four times on May 22nd. And welcome to new listeners and new members who found FFRF through that spot. And we're very pleased to announce that we are going to be airing this show, this commercial, live this Sunday on the final show of Cosmos.
June the 8th.
And that is, let's see, where do I have that information? We could not get it on nationally. This is Fox Broadcasting Network, not Fox News Channel, that is airing the original Cosmos series that features Neil deGrasse Tyson, is written by Andrian, the widow of Carl Sagan. It's a redo of the wonderful Cosmos series with Sagan.
And we were censored?
Well, it wasn't censorship exactly. They just don't take advocacy ads, but you can purchase them on individual markets, Fox markets. And so it'll be airing live on this national market in regional areas, New York City and environs, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Boston, Atlanta, Phoenix, Minneapolis, Twin Cities, Orlando, Seattle, Pittsburgh, and here in Madison, Wisconsin, because we like to see our own commercials from time to time. And this is a very expensive endeavor. And if you like this idea that atheists and agnostics need to go to the mass media, we need to assert ourselves, we want to be heard, you can donate to have this to our ad campaign so that we can take this commercial to even more spots. And we have some big plans in the fall. And I did want to say that there was an excellent article about the commercial in the Los Angeles Times by columnist Robin Abkarian. And she wrote a very lovely piece on May 31st titled "Ron Reagan, Not Afraid to Burn in Hell, Promotes Atheism in TV Spots." And if you want to read this story, you could Google it, or you can find it at our website, FFRF.org. Go to the news link, and there's a drop down called FFRF in the News, and you can watch see all of our coverage.
That was the Los Angeles Times article?
Yeah, and she interviewed Ron, and of course he's the son of our 40th president, and it's a very poignant interview because we did not realize that Ron's wife of 33 years, Daria, had died in late March. This is about the time that I was emailing him about the specifics of getting the recording made. She'd had a progressive neurological illness. And so he was quite a trooper to record this commercial for us in April. He told the reporter he wanted to honor his commitment to us. And so we're very honored and very grateful to Ron Reagan for being one of the few celebrity atheists willing to speak out and to do this endorsement for FFRF. And in the interview, Ron Reagan said, "I think when you hold an opinion that you find entirely reasonable, you are surprised when you discover that other people don't also consider it reasonable." You can say that again. And he said, "Religion often goes hand in hand with ignorance and scientific illiteracy." So look for this in certain markets on Sunday, and then help us get
Cosmos.
It. Cosmos. And help us get it on more TV in the fall.
In state church news this week, FFRF's attorney Rich Bolton filed our response brief before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, where our parsonage allowance victory, which we've been talking about on this show, has been appealed by the government.
And so what we basically are telling the government and telling ministers is it's time for them to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's a famous Bible quote, and that's how the brief basically starts, pointing out that basic principles of neutrality and fairness when it comes to clergy taxation are being ignored. So we quoted the Bible, just to kind of be cute. And the parsonage allowance law, enacted in 1954 at the height of the Cold War, lets churches pay ministers with a housing allowance up to the fair rental value of a home, and then that is excluded from their taxable income. And they are the only category like this. And the U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb Madison agreed with us that this is unconstitutional. And Dan, just about every church denomination in the country has mobilized against FFRF. And I don't think we've mentioned this before on Free Thought Radio, but even the Unitarian Universalists, Jewish groups, liberal groups, the American Baptists have joined the conservative groups and signed on to these 7 amicus briefs against us that were written by these theocratic legal aid societies. So they are not interested in giving up their privilege. They're very aggressive. And you can read our brief online. You can go to FFRF.org legal and find information or look at the press release. This is before the 7th Circuit. The Obama administration's fighting us, and we have a David and Goliath battle, and we're David, and you know how that story turned out.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking with the filmmakers of the brand new, just released this week, documentary, The Unbelievers, about Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. The music we just heard is Too Darn Hot by Cole Porter. And this week is Cole Porter's birth date. He was born June 9th, 1891.
Cole Porter, as regular listeners to this show know, had to come out of two closets. The famous Broadway composer of hundreds of popular songs, including Night and Day, Anything Goes, Begin the Begin, and The Still of the Night. He was openly gay and openly atheistic.
In his song Experiment, which Dan has recorded on FFRF's CD, Adrift on a Star, Cole Porter wrote, "The apple at the top of the tree is never too high to achieve. So take an example from Eve, experiment."
Perhaps Cole Porter's anything goes attitude to life is best exemplified in the song that he wrote for the anti-censorship musical, Can Can. The song is called Live and Let Live.
Sin's tyranny we overthrew at the fall of the Bastille. If you tell a Frenchman what to do, or if you tell him what not to do, he will only give one look at you, but the look will be nasty, for France will always curl her lip at those who block her way. And to every form of censorship, the French will always say, Vive la Live and let live, be and let be, hear and let hear, see and let see, sing and let sing, dance and let dance. I like Offenbach, you do not. So what, so what, so what? Read and let read, write and let write, love and let love, bite and let bite, live and let live, and remember this line: your business is your business, and my business is mine. Live and let live, be and let be, hear and let hear, see and let see, drink and let drink, eat and let eat. You like bouillabaisse, I do not. So what, so what, so what? Pray and let pray, slip and let slip, dress and let dress, strip and let strip, live and let live, and remember this line: your business is your business, and my business is mine.
say that'd be the perfect song to play at a gay wedding. And we're still waiting for that decision to come down in Madison, Wisconsin, overturning Wisconsin's ban on marriage equality. But there's one song that many people don't realize was written by Cole Porter, Vashti McCollum, the Supreme Court plaintiff who successfully removed religious instruction from public schools in 1948, has told us that this was her family's favorite song during the 1940s.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle.
And that is Gene Autry singing the song Don't Fence Me In. Cole Porter was surprised that that throwaway song, which he'd forgotten about, later became so popular.
Well, it expresses the human desire for freedom, so I can see why the McCollum family liked it. And now, Dan, a member of FFRF just sent you something fascinating.
A woman named Joanna in Tulsa sent me the portrait of an Indian chief named Red Jacket with an excerpt from a speech that he gave to the Christian missionaries who were wanting to come into New York, he was a Seneca chief, to build churches and missionize against the Indians. And listen to part of the speech.
What year was this?
This was 1827. Chief Red Jacket said, "Brothers, you have got our country, but you are not satisfied. You want to force your religion upon us. Brothers, continue to listen. You say that you are sent to instruct us how to worship the Great Spirit agreeable to his mind. And if we don't take hold of the religion which you white people teach, we shall be unhappy hereafter. You say that you are right and we are lost. How do we know this to be true? We understand that your religion is written in a book. If it was intended for us as well as for you, why has not the Great Spirit given it to us? And not only to us, but why did he not give it to our forefathers, the knowledge of that book, with the means of understanding it rightly? We only know what you tell us about it. How shall we know when to believe, being so often deceived by the white people? Brothers, you say there's but one way to worship and serve the Great Spirit. If there's but one religion, why do you white people differ so much about it? Why not all agree, as you can all read the book? Brothers, we don't understand these things. We were told that your religion was given to your forefathers and has been handed down from father to son. We also have a religion which was given to our forefathers. It's been handed down to us and to their children. We worship that way. It teaches us to be thankful for all the favors we receive, to love each other, and to be united. We never quarrel about religion. We are satisfied. We do not wish to destroy your religion or take it away from you. We only want to enjoy our own." That was Chief Red Jacket of the Seneca expressing a basically secular idea. You know, we're not running into churches as atheists and trying to drag people out of their pews, but we just want to be at the table to have our beliefs, religious or not, respected.
And Dan, you are a member of a Native American tribe yourself.
The Lenni Lenape, yeah.
So, and they were based on the East Coast?
That's right. We were the first tribe to have a treaty with the colonists, to have a treaty with the government, to have a broken treaty with the government. We are the tribe that was smart enough to get $24 for selling Manhattan to the Dutch, and we had to have
loaning.
We had seven migrations and ended up in near Tulsa, Oklahoma, actually in Bartlesville, in what was called Indian Territory. So the Native Americans understand: don't fence me in, don't put me on a reservation, don't lock us up. We are Americans. We're true Americans. That's all of us that are born in this country have the right to think as we think, to believe as we believe. Your business is your business, and my business is mine.
So now we are listening to another song, emblematic song of one of our birthday non-believing composers. And I'm Annie Laura Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned. After the break, we're going to talk about the brand new exciting film, The Unbelievers, which is about Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss traveling the world. And we're going to talk with the filmmakers themselves, Gus and Luke Holwerda. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we have on the phone with us, or on the phones with us, talking on their cell phones from Phoenix, Arizona, Gus and Luke Holwerda. And I guess they'll tell me if I'm saying their name right. The movie has just come out. It's just been released this week. These two brothers are the filmmakers whose newest documentary is just released. It's called The Unbelievers. And their production company is called Black Chalk Productions. And Black Chalk Productions has produced a number of award-winning music videos, some commercials, some feature films, some short-length films for the last 10 years. The director and writer is Gus Holwerda. The director of photography is Luke Holwerda. And their producer, Jason Spisak, who's not on the phone with us today, he heads the team. And the new movie called The Unbelievers represents this company's first entry into the realm of documentary filmmaking.
So welcome, Gus and Luke, to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you. Hi, thanks for having us.
It's nice to have you on the phone. We had a chance to meet you in Kamloops, British Columbia last month, where you're you debuted the film, or you had premieres, I guess, around the country before releasing it on iTunes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Kamloops Imagine No Religion 4, that was a great event. What did you guys think of it?
Oh, yeah, it was really fun.
Well, it was fun, and then the movie was just the cherry on the dessert. I mean, what a surprise, you know, that nice, it was like a banquet meal then with this professionally screened movie, and what a pleasure. What a pleasure. I mean, the content of it, you know, of course, Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss and all of that, but then the filmmaking, just this feeling of almost goosebumps of being right there, following them around.
Well, why didn't you tell us, for the viewer who hasn't seen it yet, what is this, The Unbelievers, about?
Well, you know, we like to describe it as a kind of unconventional rock and roll tour film about science and reason. But basically, it's just kind of a slice-of-life movie where we follow around Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss as they kind of go on a mutual book tour that happened back in 2012. And they travel the globe, and for anybody who knows Richard and Lawrence and how they tend to engage with the public, you can kind of guess what that probably entails. It entails a lot of fans, some protesters here and there, some pretty heated debates with religious figures. And also we were able to get some interesting celebrity types that are very fond of Richard and Lawrence and were happy to contribute their voices to the film in support of their work, talking about, you know, science and reason and religion as well.
Should we listen to the trailer for the movie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Richard, what's more important in some sense, if you had a choice, which is to explain science or destroy religion?
I think what these two men are doing out there, promoting a scientific worldview, is something of great value.
There's no one whose views are not subject to question.
Science is wonderful. Science is beautiful. Religion is not wonderful. It's not beautiful. It gets in the way.
Would some of the stuff you do really upset some people? Would you prefer that it was
no,
just...
No, I think these are wonderful things. People shouldn't be threatened by science.
I think we follow people who have courage to think about things that we haven't thought about before.
I think it's very important to advance the pro-science view in the modern world. It can only be a good thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dynamic duo of science, most evolutionary biologists, they don't believe in this crude fundamentalist version of random selection that you propose.
What a disgusting idea. I'm not saying this is the way it is, you better believe it or else.
And that's the point about beliefs. They don't change the facts. Facts, if you're rational, should change your beliefs.
But if you confront a belief they have and show them immediately that they can see for themselves it's crazy, then they remember it.
That's what I get from these guys, the permission to question everything.
So there's that, right?
But I have a rule, if there's less than five people, we just go for coffee.
That little tag at the end there was Lawrence Krauss, but that big cheering sound that you hear right at the end there was the Reason Rally, where they had about 30,000 people out on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., all there to support, you know, reason and science and I guess atheism.
We were there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was a great event. It was, I mean, the image there of Richard. It was an interesting moment in the film when the people in Washington, D.C., when Richard took the stage, they just started chanting his name like he was, you know, like a rock star.
And yeah.
Very interesting moment.
And your film caught that. In the trailer that we just heard, we heard the director and actor Werner Herzog. We heard Bill Pullman, the actor. We heard Woody Allen and Ricky Gervais, and also the actor James Morrison, and you have a whole bunch of other Cameron Diaz and other cameo, what do you call them, interview cameo appearances in this movie as well.
Yeah. Luke, you want to talk about that?
It was a kind of a thing that kind of came up organically. It's kind of turned into like myth and rumor at this point, but Woody Allen was one of the first people that became involved. And that was just because Lawrence and him ended up at a party together, and they were talking about Lawrence's book, and Woody invited him to dinner, and I guess at this dinner there was a chalkboard, and they were discussing physics all night, and Lawrence was explaining things on the chalkboard to him, and Woody was very interested in, and Lawrence said, "Hey, I'm making this movie. Would you mind sitting down and saying a few things? I'm just talking about your excitement for science." And it kind of grew from there, and we decided it might be a nice way to introduce the movie, introduce people who maybe don't know Richard Lawrence that well through other avenues, and kind of set up the film so that you go in knowing about this conversation and you kind of watch the movie. And then it ends with more celebrity interviews of them kind of discussing the issues, and then we kind of leave you with some questions. And we hope that you kind of walk away and start a conversation of your own about this stuff.
You had Tim Minchin in there. Eddie Izzard, Ian McEwan, Ion Hersey Ali, Sam Harris, Dan Dennett. Boy, what a long list. Corman McCarthy.
All the greats.
Yeah. Michael Shermer, James Morrison, and so on. Stephen Hawking. So what a powerhouse. And all promoting science over superstition.
Yeah. It's been an amazing ride making this film. I mean, Just to follow around Richard and Lawrence for a couple of months, that was you know, like a fanboy like me, that was a dream come true. I mean, I love their books. I love watching their lectures, and that was just wonderful. But then, like you said, the cherry on top was having an opportunity to meet all these interesting actors and directors and writers and other people who were just willing to come out and talk about these things because they feel it's just so important to encourage this kind of work, and it really is just inspiring when you can be around people with of like mind like that, you know.
Now, you really did follow them around. You really did tour the world, and the movie starts with GAC, the Global Atheist Conference in Melbourne, Australia, and Dan and I spoke there too, and it was just like reliving all of this wonderful memories to see your filmmaking of them, following them around in Sydney, and then the Reason Rally. But you were telling me over dinner in Kamloops how this all started, and I believe it's because you knew Lawrence Krauss. He's in he's in the Phoenix area, right? And how did this happen? And how did I know that it was a sudden thing? Suddenly, you were there in Australia. Tell us about it.
Well, I'll try and give you the really short version, which is I actually happened to have dinner with Christopher Hitchens one night, and it was after he debated a Christian apologist, and he was asking me if I knew Lawrence Krauss, and I at the time I didn't know I knew his books, but I had never met him, and but he was in Phoenix, and Christopher knew that I was in Phoenix, and so he said I should make it my goal to get to know Lawrence Krauss because he was just an amazing man, and so I did. Lawrence had an event in Phoenix where he had it was at this giant auditorium, and it was like a 12-hour event for science. They had, I mean, my God, Richard was there, but also Steven Pinker and Brian Greene and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I mean, all these people were there. It was like a rock concert, and the place was packed to the rafters for the entire 12 hours, and it was all science all day, and it was like so inspiring. It was like a rock concert. It was like Woodstock, and I snuck backstage after the event like a total stalker fanboy, and I just went up to Lawrence and said, "We have got to make something sometime. Please, let's talk." And that's kind of started the ball rolling. And then we stayed in contact. We did a few little things together. And then when Lawrence and Richard had this kind of joint book tour planned, Lawrence was supporting his book, Universe from Nothing, and Richard was out, promoting, The Magic of Reality. And they said, "Okay, look, if you guys want to follow us around, this is the perfect opportunity, but we leave in 3 weeks. Hmm. If you guys can make it happen, we'll make it happen."
You leave in 3 weeks for Australia, right?
Yeah, for Australia, yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure which one of you told me that you'd never been out of the country.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, this was that would be the beginning of many journeys to quite a few countries in this film, which was an amazing experience. I mean, what else can you say? But we were able to, through some very generous investors, get what we needed together, and we actually took two separate film crews out there so that we could follow them separately and together, and we ended up going Australia, Wales, London, Oxford, New York City, Washington, D.C., and a random spattering of other places in between.
Well, you really do feel like you're there when you watch the film. You're in the car with them, you're on the train with them, you're on the plane, you're walking behind stage where the cameras
And the photography is just absolutely phenomenal. Well, I think
we have to take a break here. Sorry, we're talking with Gus and Luke Holwerda, the filmmakers of the new, just released this week, a documentary film, The Unbelievers. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor,
and we'll tell you how to view the film when we come back.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And before the break, we heard Mary Peasant by German composer Robert Schumann, who was an unbeliever, and his birthday was June 8th, 1810. And now we have on the phone with us brothers, Gus and Luke. And I want to say, how do you say your name properly?
Holwerda.
Holwerda.
Like you're pronouncing the whole word? Holwerda?
Holwerda.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, there we go. Okay, we got it.
And they're with black chalk.
That's the American pronunciation.
Black Chalk Productions. And yep. Your movie, your first full-length documentary, The Unbelievers, has just been launched this week. And we've been talking about it. It follows around Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss, and features cameos by many famous non-believers. And how can our listeners find the movie?
It's now available on iTunes and Amazon Instant. Right now, that's the only way to get it. It will be coming out to many other platforms next week, and DVD releases will be coming probably in early July. The exact date, we're not totally sure on yet, but the DVD release is going to be really interesting because there's going to be quite a few bonus features on there. We've got probably an hour of extra interviews with the celebrities. We've got at least half an hour of deleted scenes with Richard and Lawrence, and then a documentary that we made about making the documentary, which has a bunch of great moments, especially with Richard, because he's a real interesting guy, but backstage, especially, he's become famous, at least amongst our crew, for doing sound checks, because before each show, a lot of people may or may not know this, Richard recites poetry as part of his sound check. So I thought it was one of the best things about the entire experience was showing up at each event and wondering, you know, what Richard was going to surprise us with that night.
Yeah, he wrote about that in his memoir. You know, he has memorized or remembers vast troves of poetry, and he has such a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. And there was a funny thing that happened. We did a screening in Phoenix. It was a test screening where we handed out pamphlets and so on, and we got some very interesting feedback, which one of the very interesting things we learned at that point, and this is all going to come back to something I was going to say, but we did the screening, and we asked people how religious they were when they were at the screening. And the majority of the people that were religious, all surprisingly to us, said they would recommend the film to their religious family and friends. And we were kind of taken aback by that. We thought that was a really interesting thing. But more interesting than that was the fact that at this test screening, we followed it up with a Q&A, and Richard was there, and Lauren, and some of the people from the film. Cameron Diaz was there, Ian McEwan, Cormac McCarthy, and Luke and I were on stage. And before we did the Q&A, we did a sound check. And, of course, Richard did the poetry, and that, you know, he was first, and that inspired everybody. So I did a little poem that I remembered from Edgar Allan Poe. And then everybody had to up the last person during the sound check. So Lawrence started reciting pi to as many numbers as he could remember. And then Cameron Diaz, I think, who was she singing? She was singing a song. It was interesting.
Is that recorded?
I can't remember. It was Kanye West, I think. You know what? I think we have it. We have recorded it, but it hasn't been released, and we're saving it up and deciding if we'll put it out as a special feature at some point.
Wow. Well, I would love to see that. Now, people can go to your website, unbelieversmovie.com, to follow the progress of how they can access your movie.
Or is it The exactly. Unbelievers? Is it The Unbelievers?
No, just unbelieversmovie.com.
Unbelieversmovie.com, okay.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the phenomenal photography, which it just moves the film. And so, Luke, you were in charge of the photography. You were telling me how you practically didn't get any sleep in your whole however many days in Australia.
Yeah, it was a wild experience. I'd never been to Australia, so I wasn't really clear on how big it was in between the major cities, but there were days where, you know, we had brought two crews with us. I mean, by two crews, I mean six people. And essentially, on certain days, Lawrence and Richard might fly to one city, but we would have to drive vans back and forth. And from Sydney to Melbourne was an 11-hour drive. So we would split up. And even if we had to be in the same place, you know, we would kind of just split up here and there. But, yeah, that was kind of a shock, and having to bring, you know, multiple cameras and lenses, and, you know, shooting in the car and then shooting at the event was
well, you stopped in Canberra too, where Lawrence debated a Muslim imam, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I don't know if he's an imam. I'm not sure what is
some kind of a Muslim. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a debate initiative that was at the Canberra University or Australian University.
And then the film starts on a really, I thought, funny note. Do you want to describe this? Richard Dawkins doing a debate with the Archbishop?
Pell.
Yeah, Cardinal Pell.
In Australia.
It is funny. And what's, I think, most funny about that is when we showed Richard an early cut of the film, he watched it and he said, "You need to have more time with that guy in there because that guy was a buffoon. And we need to expose him for what he is." And we were like, well, we would love to have more time, but, you know, that was like somebody else's TV show that he appeared on, and we didn't want to fill up too much of the movie with that. But what's really interesting about that is that Cardinal is actually on the short list of people who might be the next pope.
He's in the Vatican now.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But what was I can't remember. What was this ridiculous statement that he made?
Neanderthal. He thought that the humans evolved from Neanderthals.
Huh. Okay, that's right.
Yeah. And Richard's expression in that is just, it's utterly priceless.
It
I
is.
Mean, when Richard's face is just like, I can't even believe I'm talking to this person. and then when he calls Richard out, he says, you know, nobody believes in this fundamentalist version of random selection that you propose. And Richard goes, I don't propose that at all. And he goes, well, can you explain to us what evolution is, what natural selection is? And Richard just looks at him like, that's my life's work. Of course I can explain that to you. But, Richard gets a reputation for being strident. But, you know, when you're faced with people like that and you're just trying to impart the truth, It can be a frustrating process, but I think that's what the movie captures, is just what these guys are doing. They're out there every day trying to spread the truth and trying to change people's minds and get them to think for themselves and to start these conversations. And if our little film can kind of help that happen and push it forward, then I feel like we've achieved something.
Well, and I want to encourage everyone to go out and buy this film. You fellows didn't get a grant to make this film. You need to recoup your money, and it's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
Are you still living in the trailer in your mom's backyard or something?
we're both in different corners of our mom's basement right now. But that's very nice of you to say. And you know, we did have some people contribute to help make the film, but it is an independent film. And you know, one of the greatest compliments we ever get is when people criticize the film on different websites, and they want to say, you know, this Hollywood film, you know, it's a big Hollywood film, but it's really not a big Hollywood film. It's a very tiny film. We're just lucky enough to get a lot of...
We're out of time. I'm sorry. We're talking to Gus and Luke Howard.
The non-believers.
The unbelievers. Unbelievers. The movie. Thanks, Dave, for producing and engineering Free Thought Radio. You can find it online at ffrf.org/news/radio.
Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. Join us at FFRF.org.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday